brethren, which are in all Macedonia, and we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you have may have need of nothing. So as we look at this verse 11, study to be quiet and to do your own business, that's going to be the subject for tonight. And before you hang up, I remember being in Park Rapids, Minnesota, when we had several brethren that didn't like a particular lesson. They were talking about it over the supper, and one of them asked the song leader, who was from Sweden, he says, they said, well, what did you think about it? And he said, it didn't bother me. The shoe didn't fit. So in 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, if the shoe doesn't fit, we don't need to worry about it, except that we do need to be prepared to help others and help ourselves if that be the case. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. So when he says we need to study to be quiet, we do need to have that tranquil, literally, spirit. And a quiet spirit, a meek spirit, is of great price in God's sight. So we need to study to have that kind of spirit also, especially in a subject like this. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, we obey the scriptures, but this scripture seems like it is somewhat contradictory. Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Well, some of us can be a professional in this case in looking after things of others, but there are two senses here in which we need to be concerned about looking after things of others. When someone's in need, we need to be there for them to encourage them. And when we're in need, others need to be there to encourage us. So in that sense, we need to count every man better than ourselves, put everyone else first in our service to others. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 15, it's interesting how many times this subject is brought up in Scripture. 1 Peter 4 and verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. So here he's including being a busybody in other men's matters along with murderers and thieves and evildoers. That's interesting. And the word there is 244 in the Greek for those that are interested, literally overseeing others' affairs. In 1 Peter 4, verse 16, he says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So should I get upset with someone who falsely accuses me? Or should I, as in this verse, glorify God on this behalf because I have another trial that I can overcome and grow? So we should be willing to suffer as a Christian, even false accusations or whatever else it is, including someone being a busybody in our lives. We should be thankful and glorify God. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we have not a high priest which cannot be tempted with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So this busybody is a point in which everybody is tempted, and we need to be willing to overcome. So in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, unless we fought this battle and won many times, we're liable to be tempted to be a busybody. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So these temptations of being a busybody are very common to man, and we can plead with the Lord and know that God is faithful in verse 13, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. So in any of these temptations, we should have courage because it's common to everybody, and we should be able because God knows that we are able or we won't have that temptation. So in these things, we need to be very much encouraged to fight the battle. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 through 12. Some brethren were looking on the things of others and were condemned. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if you any would not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So here is verse 11. They're walking disorderly, and notice that there are two parts of that walking disorderly. And the first part is that he's not working, but the second part is that he is also being a busybody in other men's matters. Well, is this serious? Well, look in 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, and verse 6, and he mentions this thing again. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Well, we saw what walking disorderly was. It's not working, and it's also being a busybody in other men's matters. So can we just be a busybody and have a job and work? Is that acceptable to the Lord? Or is this very serious with the Lord? And then in verse 15, he says, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So this is a very serious thing with God, that we not be a busybody in other men's matters. We need to let each one rule their own lives. 1 Timothy 5, verses 11 to 14. 1 Timothy 5, 11 to 14. The younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, not only that, they learn to be idle, walking about, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So the busybody and speaking things which they ought not, tattlers speaking things which they ought not. There are many times that we may find ourselves speaking what we should not. We need to be careful and know what the Lord thinks about those who are busybodies. In 40:21, the word is working all around. So here were the widows then, working all around, speaking things which they ought not. So if I'm speaking about my business, that's my business, and I can do that. But somebody else's business, that's theirs. So some widows were hearing others' business and going from house to house to tell those secrets. Gives you something good to talk about is really interesting. But we can also do a lot of damage. We can also look at others' business and advise each other on what they others should do and what their judgment should have been. So is there a difference in making decisions for other and minding others' business? So is this temptation reserved only for widows? And of course it's not. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, as we mentioned before, no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So we're dealing here with a common problem. And 1 Corinthians 10:12, we don't need to be too confident that if this temptation comes to us, that we're going to overcome it. He says, wherefore, let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And if we think we're going to overcome it, this is liable to border on pride or enter in the middle of pride. And the Lord's going to oppose us. And we're reminded of Peter when Peter said, contradicted Christ and said, I will not deny you. And he got a little bit proud. Well, we can do the same thing. So we need to be careful and just be ready when this temptation comes up, because it will if we've not overcome it many times. Matthew 5, verse 9. One of the ways in which we can overcome the temptation to be a busybody is to be a peacemaker. And the Lord says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So that's our mind as we talk to others, and we're determined to make peace between everybody. Then we'll not be saying things that will not make for peace, or that will cause enmity or bitterness or anything else. And in much talk, there wanteth not sin, because we've got to have something to talk about if we're together. And so we're going to keep on talking until we find something we shouldn't talk about. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 2 and 3. This was a common problem among God's children in Philippi, and they had no real criticism except for this one. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There's your solution. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel. So here they are, very diligent, godly women, but they got a problem. With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So he's encouraging these brethren then to help these women that are having a problem. In Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 5, these verses come up rather commonly because they are a common temptation for many different trials. Romans 14, verses 1 through 5. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So it doesn't matter how much faith they have or don't have, we need to receive them. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not. Let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So in verse 4, we all, if we're faithful, have one master, and that's Christ. And he's the one that is our judge. And as Paul said in one case, it matters little to me that concerning your judgment of me. So no brother has to answer for me, because I only have one master, and no one has to answer for anyone else that's faithful in the church, because they only have one master. In Proverbs, the 30th chapter and verse 10, this, of course, refers to a slave who has a master, but the principle is still here today. He says, accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. Of course, we're not supposed to curse, but someone's weak in the faith, we might be surprised. But whatever it is, we shouldn't accuse anyone to his master, or really shouldn't accuse anybody to anybody else. 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 17. If I see a brother sin, whether it's in this case or any other case, I have a responsibility, and the Lord gives it to me. 1 John 5, verse 17, if any man see his brother, of course this is generic, sisters too, sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. Well, most of us are not guilty of that sin unto death. So if we see a brother sin, we shall ask. And what do we ask for? And he shall give him life. Of course, that's the Lord that's going to give this brother life. So what should we pray for? Well, if he's in serious sin, he's liable to be dead. We need to pray for him to have life. And he says here, it's a promise, God will give him life. So our prayer will have an effect for someone who is stumbling. So So we need to pray for each other and not say anything against each other. James 5, verse 16, and this verse can be dangerous unless we confess to one who's faithful to keep secrets. Confess your faults one to another. Now, that can be very dangerous. And pray for one another that you may be healed. So there's our prayer. And we do need to pray for each other, whether we're in a fault or not in a fault. We need to all grow. And if we have sin, which most of us do, we need to be healed. So we can pray for one another to be healed. In 1 Corinthians 4, 5, he gives one of the reasons why we should not speak about others' business to anyone, or even to ourselves for that matter. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, here's the reason. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So judge nothing before the time. We don't need to send any man to heaven or hell. But God at that time, or Christ, will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Now, this is the thing that we don't know. And as he says in 1 Corinthians 2:11, he acknowledges this fact. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. But what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So we really don't know what the man is thinking about or his reasons for doing what they do. We can see the action, but the Lord says, don't judge by appearance, judge by righteous judgment. And he says, don't judge anything before the time, because the Lord then will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then we'll understand more about why the person did what he did. In the meantime, we don't know. And so we really have no business to judge. If we see a sin, we can judge by the outward action. And if it's one of the seven sins, putting one out of the company, we can deal with that. There's another sin that we can deal with immediately, Matthew 18, verse 15, and we all know this. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother sin shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So when someone sins against us, we do have a responsibility to go to that brother. And he says, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. So we need to do that by ourselves try to make peace with the brother. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Romans the 14th chapter, verses 9 to 13. Romans 14, verses 9 to 13. If the brother has not sinned against us, he also gives us another responsibility. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So he asks the question, verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? Well, it's a good question. We do need to answer it if we are judging or setting it not any brother. So verse 12, we need to remember we will answer for judging a brother or setting him at not. So we'll all be given account of ourselves to God, and we don't want to give account of that. We need to repent ahead of time. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another any more. So it's a common thing to judge each other, but he says, let's quit it. And judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So we need to be careful that we don't cause anyone to be discouraged or to turn away from the Lord. So if a brother sins and I judge him, then we're both sinning. Who's worse? I can judge the sin and pray for the brother, but I don't need to judge the brother. Galatians 6 verse 1, if I'm spiritual, I have a work to do to restore a brother that is overtaken in a fault. So being overtaken in a fault is being overtaken so that he can't get out. So we need to mind our own business or encourage, if we can, to help the person to overcome a fault. If not, then those who are spiritual have a job. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So he's indicating here that if we have the same temptation as the brother that is overtaken, we also might be overtaken. So we don't need to be too confident, because we don't know the temptations are coming up, and the devil is rather strong. And if the Lord does to us like he did to Peter and give Satan permission to sift him as wheat, we might find ourselves doing the same thing Peter did. So we don't need to be super confident. We need to ask the Lord for strength and help and courage, wisdom, understanding, everything we need to overcome in our own temptations. Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Romans 14, 9 and 10, we're reading again, making a different point. For to this end Christ died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Then he says, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set thy brother at naught? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we have a Lord that we are responsible to. And our Lord tells us not to judge each other and to judge things. And if it's one of the seven things, then the church has to judge him. But individually, the only way we judge is if someone sins against us, and then our job is to go to that brother in a spirit of meekness. In Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 11 to 13, Romans 14, verse 11 to 13, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. So Romans, the 15th chapter, he continues on after that subject. Romans 15, 1 to 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's what we should do with the ones that are sinning. We need to bear their infirmities, be long-suffering, and not to please ourselves. So even though we feel something, we don't need to express it. We need to obey the command. Every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So our aim should be to edify, and in edifying, so that we get a good ear, we need to please our neighbor. And pleasing him means that we're going to be very kind, very gentle, very meek. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So we need to be willing to be reproached, but we don't need to reproach anybody. So our aim needs to be to please the brother so he'll listen to us and work to build love in the brother's heart. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 16. We should all have the same mind toward each other. He says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And of course, low estate is those that we consider to be in a lower position. He says, don't be wise in your own conceit. Well, if we consider someone below us, what are we? We should consider all others, Christians, above ourselves. And if I consider you above myself, that's not pride, that's humility. If I consider myself more able or above you in any way, that's not humility, that's pride. So he says, don't be wise in your own conceit. So we need to have the same mind one toward another. Romans 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So we don't want to ever recompense any man evil for evil. We need to return good for evil and pray for the ones that despitefully use us and persecute us. Then verse 18, Romans 12, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. So as much as lies within us, that's our part, and we can live peaceably with all men except for the false teachers. And of course, there was no peace that Christ had with the Pharisees because they were the blind leading the blind, and they were wolves among the flock. So when it comes to false teachers, we have a different judgment. But everybody else, we need to be peaceable with all men. Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we need to eat the peace and the righteousness of the gospel. For he that in these things serves Christ, so that's how we serve him, righteousness, peace, and joy in a Holy Spirit, acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So peace is a very important thing, and if we're seeking peace, we won't be causing a problem between two brethren. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We have the fruit of the lust of the flesh, and we have the fruit of the Spirit. Here it is. The fruit of the Spirit is, number one, love, joy, peace. That's what we're talking about. Long-suffering, that's what we're talking about. Gentleness, we're talking about that. Goodness, faith, meekness, we're talking about that. Temperance, we're talking about that. And against such, there is no law. Now, he doesn't say those people aren't under a law. He says there's no law against them. But if someone sins and not producing the fruit of the Spirit, there are many laws that are against that kind of people. Ephesians 4, let's read verses 1 to 3. One of the ways we walk worthy is to be at peace with all men, with the exception, of course, as we mentioned, Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, he's begging them, that you walk worthy of the vocation, and that's the calling wherewith you are called. So we are called to be like Christ, and we need to walk worthy of that and become like Christ. And we become like Christ the more we grow in, verse 2, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, how pleasant are all those four that he mentions here. Lowliness, that's being depressed. Humility, meekness, that's not doing harm to anybody, and we got to take a lot. Long-suffering, that tells what it is. Forbearing, that tells what it is. And we need to do all those things in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we should aim for peace with everybody and not cause a problem. In Romans, the 16th chapter, verse 17, and here's your exception to being at peace with all men. If we avoid somebody and stay away from them, how much peace is there going to be with them? Well, of course, there's no peace if we refuse to fellowship them. Now, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 6, 17, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So that's the solution, to stay away from them. We don't need to deal with brethren that cause division and offenses. And Matthew 15, 14, again, the exception to the rule of being at peace with all men. Matthew 15 and verse 14, talking about the Pharisees here. And he's argued with them and about them from verse 1 on through verse 13. And he says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Well, the Pharisee was a false teacher. He taught the tradition of men. And our command here is let them alone. He doesn't say go and silence them. He doesn't say be at peace with them. He says just leave them alone. Stay away from them. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, Colossians 3, 14 and 15. And above all these things, put on charity. That's love, which is the bond of perfectness. So all these different qualities of Christ are gathered together in that one thing called love. And that's why he talks about the perfect love, complete love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. So we do need to be thankful in all things, because God is working all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. We're called according to his purpose. It has to be good for us. And so we should never be unhappy about anything that happens. We should glorify God. And above all these things, verse 14, put on charity. So that's the highest, love. And that will hold all these other different parts of that love complete. And as we have this love, the peace of God needs to rule. And that rule is in our hearts. So we need to be at peace with all men as much as lies within us. 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. We're not stuck in the position we're in. We can have a better position. And the Lord will use us in his work if we purge the evil from our hearts. But in a great house, 2 Timothy 2:20, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now that's a beautiful description there, a vessel unto honor, not man's honor, but God's honor. Sanctified, fully set apart for God. We need to aim for that. And like he told the Hebrews, follow after that. Well, if you follow after it, you're not there yet. So we need to continue to grow until our hearts are fully formed, which will make us fully sanctified, set apart only for God's use. And here we'll be ready, meet, suitable for the master's use. So who is it that's going to use us if we're this vessel? That's how he sees us. We are vessels. We're not masters of our own. We're useful to him and prepared unto every good work. So we need to follow after peace, seek for good, find out what all the good works are, and then find a way to be prepared to do every single one of them in love. Well, that's more than a university degree, by the way. It's more than a PhD. It's far above. And it's an eternal work. So we need to set our hearts on something that is far better than man's education. So in verse 20, how do we get to be this vessel unto honor? And we've gone over this, but we'll remind ourselves. There are different vessels. God has different levels of good that they can do. Some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, in three verses before, he talks about iniquity. If we'll purge ourselves from these evils, then we'll be pure in heart and God can use us because we'll be pure gold. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. This is our work, to bring the unity to the body of Christ. And if we speak against somebody, are we bringing unity or division? Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the unity of the Spirit is everybody speaking the same thing, with the same mind, same judgment, and no division among us. So we can do that by honoring one another, by speaking only good one of another, and being meek, long-suffering, forbearing, which obviously that says that others are going to have faults that we need to endure and our faults they need to endure. So it's all making for peace, and we can endure one another's faults as we grow, knowing that he's still working in me, as the song goes. Colossians 3, verses 14 and 15, again, an encouragement to love. And this does solve the problem. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, perfection. So here is charity again, he tells us. That's the thing that holds all these different parts of love together. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So that's what we've been called to in one body. So God does call us to be like Christ, but he also calls us to have the peace of God that rules in our hearts so that we get along with all faithful brethren who are not false teachers. So if no one sins, love can't cover it. So love does cover the multitude of sins. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 12 to 15, the Hebrews also had a problem on this line. Hebrews 12, verse 15, he says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord." Now, it's true that without which, that which is doesn't have a broom, that which is masculine, it's the same as gender as peace, holiness. Peace is feminine, holiness is neuter, and that which is neuter. So we'll not see the Lord unless we follow after and attain that holiness without which no man will see him. But nevertheless, we need to follow after peace. And we need to look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. So we can lose God's favor. And when we deal with each other in a negative way, we don't get God's favor. We can fail. And lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So we need to be careful for ourselves and be thankful for our temptations and not be bitter about anything. In James, the 3rd chapter, verses 17 and 18, we need to grow in this kind of wisdom. And of course, strangely enough, the same thing in wisdom is found in love. James 3:17, the wisdom that is from above, God's wisdom, is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So that last one is real difficult sometimes when we don't feel good. And our temptation is to say, "How are you?" "Great." Well, we need to really just say something else if we don't feel good, because they really don't want to hear what you got to say anyway. But seriously, sometimes the folks are sincere and they really do want to know how you are, and you can tell them. But the wisdom from above is without that kind of hypocrisy, but it's also pure and peaceable. It's also gentle. So we need to be very gentle with each other and easy to be entreated. So we need to entreat one another if we've done wrong or if someone's done wrong to us. Full of mercy, that's kindness, and full of good fruits and without partiality. So we need to be treating the brethren all the same. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 11. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 11. "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren." We're all in the family of God, and brethren should love brethren because of the parents. And of course, sometimes when the parents die, then the children leave each other and fight from then on. And the parents sometimes are able to keep the unity of the peace because they love the parents. But we need to love as brethren and love God and love God's children too. And we need to be pitiful. And that doesn't mean being sickly. It means having compassion on others and being courteous. And courteous, of course, is speaking in honor to each other. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. And that sometimes is a little difficult, but nevertheless, we need to immediately forgive, and we need to return good for evil and bless them and ask for God to help them and follow the truth and be formed in the image of Christ. And if the Lord hears us, we'll not have trouble from that brother from then on, knowing that you are there unto called. So this is a problem we're called to, and we'll inherit a blessing if we overcome these temptations. Verse 10. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." So all this that we've been talking about is right here in the fear of the Lord. So those that fear the Lord are very great in God's sight. So we need to be paying attention to every one of it. So loving life, to see good and refrain our tongue from evil. That means not speaking so that anyone else is damaged. His lips, so they speak no guile, don't trick anybody. Eschew evil, turn away from it. Do good, that's what we've seen before, and then we do what we see. Let him seek peace with all men, and especially with God, and ensue it, which is to pursue it. So we close then with Psalms 15, verses 1 to 3. Psalms 15, 1 to 3. Who shall, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? We're talking about his tabernacle in heaven. And here's who they are. He that walks uprightly, that is level according to law, works righteousness, walks level, which is fair, works righteousness, that's following all the laws, speaks the truth in his heart, no lies, but no false doctrines, only truth. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, not speaking against the neighbor, nor doing evil to his neighbor, not hurting anybody, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. So if we hear someone reproaching somebody, we can't agree with them. And if you disagree, you'll get in trouble. So better sometimes just to hold your peace. But we can't take up a reproach when someone begins to speak against somebody else, if we want to dwell in his holy hill after we leave this world. So this is admonition. It applies to me as well as it does to everybody. And we need to seek peace with all men and ensue it. Brother Travis, do you have the closing song?
There is none like him, none can compare, no God.